Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast of your favorite team in the Bay Area. And on today's episode, we have San Jose Sharks prospect Brandon Coe. He joins the show. We're going to talk about, of course, you know, the draft, dealing with COVID, playing on the Barracuda instead of the OHL for that, and what that meant for him going back to North Bay. We're going to talk about development camp and kind of looking forward to his, you know, real rookie season with the Barracuda. So all that and more on today's episode of Locked on Sharks.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, J.D. Young, contributor at Fear the Fin and San Jose Hockey Now. Of course, I want to thank you guys for making us your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And of course, you can subscribe on YouTube, where we have you covered for your team every day, or at least 3 days a week right now until the season starts. So, yeah, so Brandon Coe, who's kind of been the white whale for the show when it comes to the 2020 draft class. We've gotten a lot of the guys at Brandon Coe. We just never were able to kind of get him on, and it finally worked out to get to Brandon Coe on. So we talked to him. I talked to him about kind of, like I said, his what happened after the draft, kind of how he felt, you know, where he kind of saw guys around him kind of performing better, and then, you know, kind of felt like he had lost his game, and actually going to the Barracuda was really kind of a blessing in disguise for him. It really helped him find his game. So I'll talk about that. Also, he does have a little band-aid you'll see on his hand. He had some surgery on his hand. He told me he'll be good to go. Apparently, it was every time he was taking a shot, the bone was like rubbing against something, so and it was very painful. Something, I guess he had a fracture in there, but he said he'll be good to go for training camp, so no need to worry, Sharks fans. He's on more than, you know, this is just one of those things that kind of help relieve some pain. So but yeah, Brandon Coe, enjoy. All right, and now we bring in the San Jose Sharks prospect of the year, the white whale for Locked on Sharks, Brandon Coe. Brandon, how are you doing, buddy?
No, I'm fantastic. Glad to be on here.
Yes, the kind of the last bit of the 2020 draft class finally here. So Brandon, of course, you know, we want to talk about your journey to the Sharks and kind of, you know, everything that's happened over the past couple of years. Let's go ahead and start with the draft, which of course was a crazy time, you know, going way back to the COVID days. What was that like for you? You know, of course, you know, the OHL season gets shut down beforehand. Everybody's kind of just waiting. We have the draft over Zoom. What were you kind of doing to prep yourself and you know, go through the draft process?
That was definitely different. You know, in past years and guys, you know, around the OHL that I was talking to and stuff like that. You know, you go to there's pretty big events throughout the year. You know, you get invited to the top prospects game, and then for the CHL, and then you get invited to the combine and you do in-person meetings there and fitness testing and whatnot. And then the draft actually happens, but unfortunately we didn't really get that experience. Didn't get to go to the combine and didn't get to go to an actual draft because of COVID. But you know what, at the end of the day, I thought it was still obviously a lifetime achievement of mine, looking forward to that moment. And it was definitely still special being able to spend quality time, you know, sitting on the couch watching on TV with my parents and grandma, and a couple of close family members came over. We kept it small, but it was still, you know, your close circle that you've been with your whole life, and it was still a special moment to get drafted, even though you weren't actually at the draft. So and some people may think it's not fun, but I thought it was pretty special just to keep it at home. And, you know, usually at the draft, you hug your parents, then you have to leave right away. So
yeah,
it was awesome to spend the whole day with them afterwards as well. So it was good.
Yeah. How do you try to keep yourself kind of busy? Because I know I would be like a nervous wreck that whole, you know, kind of being a fourth round pick. You're kind of waiting and stuff, especially with the Zoom ones where it they kind of dragged on, you know, they didn't really kind of have a nice pace to them. So how'd you kind of keep yourself busy during that time?
You know what? We weren't at, obviously you're not at the draft, so you can pretty much do whatever you want. No one's looking at you. So we were all just sitting in the living room. We were honestly just, you know, snacking away. My mom put out some snacks for the family and stuff. And we're just sitting there having casual conversations and stuff. And the way it was sort of like a little bit of a delay. I guess the guys that were broadcasting it would say the pick, or they wouldn't say the pick. They'd be talking about the player maybe a couple picks previously. And then on the side, there was the draft list for the rounds, like 2 to 7 on the Saturday. Where it's on the column on the side of the TV. So it was funny. My uncle actually was the first person that saw my name pop up on the screen, because we weren't really paying attention because they were talking about someone else. Then he was just like, wow, like you got drafted San Jose. I look up the TV and it's just, you know, still mind boggling a bit. You know, you didn't get to really hear your name get called probably until couple minutes after, because it was a little bit delayed. But right when the name pops up, your phone starts blowing up, and obviously management and stuff call you, and it was definitely a whirlwind of emotions and lots of stuff going on after that point. But obviously just try to keep yourself busy as long until the point happens. But it wasn't too hard waiting.
Yeah, and then you get to celebrate for that.
Yeah.
After you got drafted, we had on a name that might be familiar to Bill Holder, the assistant coach for North Bay. And we asked him about you, and his quote was, he really doesn't know how good he can be. Now that you've gone through your North Bay career and stuff, what do you think, like, hearing that from him?
No, I think he's bang on. I think I sort of had a lot of ups and downs for my career in the OHL. I didn't really have a lot of confidence in myself, especially in my rookie year. And then my second year, you know, I had a little bit of a better year, but at the same time, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, where did my game go? Honestly, I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, where did they all go? Like, I got drafted third overall, and my point production and the way I was playing, I wasn't overly happy with myself. And I sort of felt like I was really underachieving. I'm looking at these other guys that got drafted around the same spot as me. They're going first round to the NHL and stuff. And I'm like, where did my game go? Cause I thought I was at the same level as them, but it really took me a while to find my game again. And I think what really helped me was COVID, honestly, sort of a blessing in disguise for myself. And luckily I got the opportunity to go down to San Jose since the OHL didn't continue with their play. And I got to spend the year down there, and I didn't get in the lineup till a few games into the season. But once I got my chance, I sort of ran away with it, and I gained all the knowledge I could throughout the year there. And after the season, I think I sort of left my mark there, and I wanted to, I didn't really want to go back to junior. I wanted to skip out of my overage year, and I wanted to go pro then. But obviously San Jose had other things in mind for me. And honestly, I think they're right. Going back to junior for my overage year was awesome. I have got all my confidence back. I had a really great year for myself, and we had a great team. And my first 4 years with North Bay, we didn't really have too much success in the playoffs. So it was awesome getting to the conference finals with the guys I grew up playing with that team. Mm-hmm. And to go away on my final year like that, I couldn't have asked for a better year. And but yeah, it was really awesome. My junior career in North Bay, and Billy was pretty bang on with that. You know, I think one thing he always liked to say is, "Cozy, like, you have all the tools, you just have to figure it out." And mm-hmm. Before, when I was younger, I'm like, "What does this guy mean, figure it out?" But that was just the kid in me. And you know what? I can't thank Billy enough for everything he's done for me over my junior career, and he's a great coach.
All right, guys, before we continue with Brandon Coe and we talk some about, like, his development camp and how that went with him, and talking about, you know, the Marchment Trophy and that moment of him holding up, I want to take a quick break and, of course, and let you guys know about how important it is to drive sober, because drunk driving is a terrible, terrible thing. So, you know, you've hang out with a few friends, put back a few drinks, and a few becomes too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you think of calling for a ride. Now you live by, you'll make it home. It's okay. It's not a big deal. what are the odds that you'll get pulled over? And even so, what's the worst thing that could happen? Your insurance goes up, you lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you kill someone. Everyone knows the risks of drunk driving, and the results are tragic and often deadly. However, that doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again, play it safe, plan ahead, get a ride. It only takes a minute to do so, and one mistake could change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of answered the next question I was going to ask you was, you know, that going to the Barracuda for that one season because the OHL was shut down, you know, you said that was huge for your confidence. And then going, like, what did you kind of learn? And kind of that, did you learn that, like, oh, this is what it takes to actually play, you know, a pro style game? Or what was the biggest thing you learned there?
Yeah, I definitely had a little bit of a learning curve when I got there, because juniors is a lot slower and there's a lot there's a lot of time and space in junior compared to pro, but that was the biggest thing, is just how hard guys compete and how fast the game is and how the guys think and make decisions very quickly with the puck. Mm-hmm. And I think I sort of gained that for myself. It was just try to play the game simple. I think when things weren't going well for myself, I would try to overcomplicate things. And obviously that's not what you want to do when you're not feeling it. So I think just getting back to the basics and really just sort of building my game up from the bottom again, just, you know, getting pucks on the wall, like finding my centerman or hitting the weak side D on breakouts, and then just holding onto the puck in the offensive zone instead of throwing it away and trying to make plays and possess the puck. So just little things like that I sort of gained with the Barracuda that year. And especially with J-Mac too, the start of the season, I wasn't in the lineup. So I was doing those healthy scratch skates in the morning and doing a lot of skill sessions, and extra time with J-Mac was really good for myself. And I gained a ton of skills from him. And after main camp last year, when I got sent back to junior, they told me to bring all the stuff I learned from last year, and then the knowledge I gained in camp, to bring that back to junior and have a good year. And I just looked at it in a positive way and tried to have the best year I could. And I think the year in San Jose really helped out with my confidence, and going back to it, just playing with older guys is obviously a lot harder. And then just gain confidence and show that I can play with those guys. And going back to junior, just tried to have a breakout year.
How nice was it to just like punk on 16 and 17 year old kids back in juniors again?
it was good. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you. It's definitely nicer looking to your right on a face off and seeing a 16, 17 year old rather than the 30 year old. You know, yeah. It's definitely a little bit easier. But you know what? It was an awesome year, and playing junior hockey with those bus rides and stuff, it's awesome. And you know, I'm glad I had my last year of that before pro next year. So it was good.
One of the things, kind of, I guess, you know, learning to play pro hockey, since, you know, you're a big guy, you know, you're 6'4", how do you think you're still using, like, still learning to use your frame effectively, especially for the NHL, where it's much more physical, much more faster compared to juniors, where, again, you're, you know, just the biggest guy out there, biggest, fastest guy out there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is probably puck protection, especially down low in the offensive zone, or even if you don't get the perfect pass on the wall for a breakout, is just using your butt, getting in the way, sort of creating time and space for yourself is probably the biggest thing. And trying to use that to my advantage, you know, being 6'4", and trying to use my reach and deceptive skating as well. I think the biggest thing is just puck protection and using your frame to the best you can and trying to create space, because it's hard to come by out there on the ice, especially in pro, is time and space. So as much as you can create for yourself out there is probably the biggest asset you probably have.
Yeah. And I mean, you saw this year it paid off for you, you know. Like I said, you were the Sharks prospect of the year. You're the OHL first team all-star, the overage player of the year. Is this kind of a nice confirmation of all that hard work that, you know, went to, like, when you were in San Jose and kind of bringing it back to North Bay?
Yeah, it was definitely nice to see it pay off. Mm-hmm. I'm going back to it, I wanted to have a great season. I wanted to have a breakout year for myself, not only like points wise, but just to be a great leader, knowing that I was going to be one of the oldest guys on the team. So it was awesome to get recognized not only by San Jose, but by the OHL as well. You know, obviously those individual awards aren't number one on your list, but it's always, I think guys would lie if it wouldn't be special to them, or obviously be nice to get noticed by the league or by your team. So it's definitely awesome. And I wish we could have capped off the year with an OHL championship and get the chance to go to the Memorial Cup. But you know, it was a great run for sure.
How much influence did you have in getting Mitchell Russell to come to San Jose? Because you guys dominated at North Bay. And then, you know, he signs with the Sharks this offseason. And then you guys get to play together in development camp. So were you just like, hey, buddy, let's keep this going in San Jose?
You know what? Not really. It's funny you asked that. I found out by surprise. You know, we were at a
team dinner. I talked to him. Yes.
Yeah, we were at the team dinner. We did a dinner as a team after every round of playoffs, and he came up to me at dinner. He's like, "Can I talk to you for a second?" You know, I thought I was in trouble. I did something. he pulled me outside of the room and he just said, he said I signed with San Jose this evening before I came over here. I was just like blown away and in shock. You know, we don't really talk about that stuff, or where he was thinking about signing, or who sent offers in and stuff. So it was, you know, it caught me by surprise, but it was awesome. You know, have one of my good buddies from my junior team come along with me to San Jose next year for our first year, our true first year pro. It's going to be awesome. And, but back to your question, any influence I had, I'm not really, you know, but
that's okay. Wink, wink. Yes. You weren't sending Doug Wilson Jr. when he was there. You weren't just like sending him highlights like, hey, you should check out this guy. He's really good.
I know. I guess I didn't have any influence at all, rather than just having the San Jose guys come and watch me and then notice Russ as well. And they're saying, well, Russ is a pretty good hockey player as well, so let's bring him along.
All right. So development camp this year. So of course, you know, you got to, you know, your second time around with it. Of course, they didn't have one for the 2020 season, but then, you know, second time around with it. What was the big difference for you this year compared to last year?
Probably the double ice sessions. My first camp, we were usually just on the ice once a day, and then we would do either fitness testing or a workout after the skate. But this year, I think they really dialed it in with, we did in the morning, we did a lot of shooting and a lot of like skills work, more individual work in the morning. Then we would do either fitness testing or a workout after that, and then have lunch and then get back on the ice in the afternoon for like a team practice, more like two-on-ones, one-on-ones and whatnot. So I think the biggest thing was just a little bit longer days. But it was awesome to get on the ice twice a day. And then last camp, we did just a regular 5-on-5 game. And it was kind of cool to do the 3-on-3 tournament this year, which was really fun. So I think the biggest difference was just on the ice twice a day. But other than that, it was pretty much the same.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, of course, the 3-on-3 tournament, and there's the awesome photo of you holding like the Marchment trophy. How kind of cool, I know, you know, was that, especially with how kind of the Sharks family was grieving, you know, with his sudden passing, and then you kind of like holding that up. And I hope there better be a photo of that, like somewhere in the Sharks facility, of you holding that up, like somewhere.
Well, I was there last week. I didn't see anything up, so maybe they got to get on that. But
come on, guys! Like seriously, that's like that should be somewhere.
Yeah, maybe I'll just put it up in my bedroom or something. Feel good about myself. But no, it was awesome. You know what? Hearing the loss of Mush was terrible, and he was one of those guys that reached out to me a lot after I got drafted to San Jose. And he came up to North Bay quite a bit to come watch me play, and gave me some great feedback after the games always, and always kept in touch with me, sent me a text, see how I was doing always, and not always just about hockey, just how I was doing as a person, you know. So hearing the loss of him was terrible, and I know how much he meant to not only me, but to the whole organization. It was very devastating to hear that news, and to have the tournament with the trophy being named after him, it was awesome, and definitely very privileged that that Berkey handed it off to me and allowed me to lift it up. It was definitely a special moment.
So with development camp, any of the young guys kind of flashed to you, or kind of like, oh, this guy type of situation, where you're like impressed with any of the guys?
Oh my God, what's that? There's one. Lund is his last
Cameron pick? Lund, the second round.
Cameron pick. Lund, yeah. So did he get drafted this year? Or was it
Lund? He was. Yeah, he was a second round pick in the 2022 draft. Yeah.
So okay, yeah. So he was on my team for the 3-on-3, and boy, did he light it up. He, he had a good day for himself, and you know, especially during practices and the skill shooting, he was ripping the puck around. So he has a hell of a shot, and he has a lot of skill, mm-hmm. and he can skate pretty well. So he was one guy that definitely really impressed me, and curious to see what type of year he has. Where does he play?
I think he's going to college this. I don't know if he's playing USHL or college this year. So yeah, one of the two. So
well, yeah. I'm gonna keep my eyes on him, because he really impressed me, and I know along with the other guys as well, we were sitting on the bench. Some of the stuff he was doing it was special.
Gotcha. Now there was a video of you of you being mic'd up, and you talked about a glitch for shootouts. Can you explain the glitch?
Well, it's a shootout move. I don't even know if I want to give it away, but
oh, that's secret trade secrets.
Yeah, but basically, it's a move I learned from one of my buddies, Cole Perfetti. I skate with him out here back in the summer. He does this move where it's like you pull it back, like you're doing the Datsuk move, mm-hmm. and then the goalie like opens up and you slide a 5-hole, which is basically and. You know, I used it a lot this year in North Bay, and Russ always told me that it was a glitch. Like every time I would do it, it was just automatically going in. But hopefully no one really – hopefully the goalies don't listen to it, at least on here. But, but yeah, it tends to work, you know, maybe 2 out of 3 times. So
60% of the time it works every time, right?
Yeah.
How often do you guys work on, like, shootout stuff? Because, I mean, I know it's – kind of becoming a little bit bigger part of the game, but like, is it just something that just kind of happens, or do you like actually like thought and stuff? And is it kind of like a baseball, like pitcher versus batter, where it's like you're trying to kind of come up with these, you know, like how to like deke the goalie, I guess?
Yeah, I have a lot, like probably like 3 or 4 moves that I stick to. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I think I just look at the goalie's feet. Honestly, I see where he is in the crease, how far he's coming out, and that's pretty much I decide around maybe the top of the circles or just before the hash marks if I'm going to shoot or if I'm going to deke, and then from there I just look at where his feet are positioned, and then I pick my move from there. And then hopefully I'm not going first in the shootout, so I can see how the goalie's reacting and what he tends to do. And then from there I pick what move I'm going to do. And but yeah, it's just basically. I just look at his feet and see how far out he is. And then from there, I just decide if I'm going to shoot or deke. And then where I get my move from is pretty much just YouTube. and then watching highlights, you know, see what works often and try to replicate it.
Nice.
All right, guys, before we finish up with Brandon Coe, we kind of talk about his preparation and some off the ice stuff. Want to take a quick break and, of course, let you guys know about the Locked On NHL show. They're still pumping out content 5 days a week. They've got you covered. You know, right now they're doing their big division by division power rankings. So make sure you guys go check those out and kind of see where teams are stacking up within their own division. So you can find that wherever you get podcasts and, of course, subscribe on YouTube as well.
All right. So, of course, you're going to be playing with the CUDA this year. How exciting is it to like to get kind of get to this point and really kind of actually start your pro career?
I think it's gonna be awesome. My first year pro is definitely it was awesome, but at the same time, or it wasn't really the true feel where I was gonna be. Mm-hmm. I never knew if I was gonna stay the whole year. It was always in the back of my mind. I'm like, is the OHL gonna start, or if I'm going back to junior, am I staying here the whole year? But knowing this year, like I'm going to be there for good, and my true first year pro, it's definitely really exciting and definitely something to look forward to. And a new challenge and a new chapter for my life. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, we have this fabled 2020 Sharks draft class between, you know, you have Ozzie, you have Bortolo, who's kind of, you know, probably going to be bounced between the Sharks and the Cuda. You know, you have Tristan Robbins, you've got you have Daniel Gushin. Like, how exciting is it to get to play with all these guys who are, you know, kind of, by a lot of Sharks fans, kind of considered the next core, the future of the Sharks?
Yeah, it's awesome. It's good that we're finally starting to have camps again after COVID, so you get to know the guys. And because really we haven't spent too much time together because everyone was bouncing around. I was in San Jose for the whole year when Ozzie and Robbins started off there. Then the WHL started, so they left. But I got to know those guys pretty well over the past couple of years here with camps and whatnot, and spent a lot of time with Oz. And I think he might be my roommate for next year, so we'll see about that. And then Goosh was in the same division as me in the OHL, so I got to play him a fair bit of times this season. So knowing that we're all going to be there next year, it's definitely awesome. And I think we got a lot of talent to look forward to here, and a lot of competitive practices to look forward to as well.
How Goosh's shot, is it as dangerous as it looks on TV?
Oh, yeah, it is. You know what, every time I was on the bench or I was back checking, trying to get back on him, or if he had the puck and he was around the top of the circles and he was shooting it, and there's always a chance it's going to go in. And, he rinsed us a couple times when we were playing Niagara this year. So his shot's definitely one of his biggest assets, and he's got a good set of hands on him as well. So.
All right, so let's get to know you off the ice a little bit. So pre-game rituals, are you kind of a big music guy? You're a superstitious guy, a little bit superstitious guy? You just kind of let it flow?
I like to let it flow. The only thing that I tend to do is just put on my left side of everything first, like my left skate, left elbow pad and whatnot. And then I like to have penne pasta with chicken before the game. I don't know if it's really a ritual. It's just more like comfort.
It's every that. Hockey player ever has the same exact meal. So it's pasta and chicken. So yes.
Yeah. But other than that, not a huge music guy. Like, I don't put on headphones in the dressing room. I just allow whoever's on the DJ to go with the tunes, and then take my sticks, play some two touch with the guys, and warm up and get on the ice.
Gotcha.
Pretty straightforward.
Big nap guy?
Oh yeah, that's mandatory. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Then are you a coffee guy after? I know some guys are coffee guys to the rink. No coffee. Nope.
I like coffee. I usually drink it every day, honestly. But before the game, I tend to stay away from it. Normally don't drink it before the game, but other than that, I do enjoy a nice iced coffee. Not a warm coffee guy, iced coffee.
Oh, see, I don't care how hot it is. It's always hot coffee. I can't really? Do iced coffee. Yeah. It's like 100 degrees here right now, and I'm drinking hot coffee right there. So.
I can't do it. I'm not built for it.
Once you have kids, it changes the rules. So that's.
Yeah, well, hopefully I got a couple of years till that, but yeah. We'll find out.
Of course, you know, I think every hockey player also golf guy. Do you play golf in the off season?
Yep. Right. I not as much as I would like to. You know, every guy would probably love to get out there every day. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've been playing probably once or twice a week for the summer. So I love it. And honestly, if I wasn't playing hockey, I would try to play golf. But you know what? It's definitely a great hobby to have. And honestly, there's probably no better feeling other than scoring a goal in hockey rather than just hitting a drive straight down the fairway with all the boys watching you. So, I like to get on there on the course for sure.
I mean, that's one of the great things about the Bay Area is the great weather year round. So you got plenty of golf courses to choose from there. So I know a lot of the Barracuda guys, actually basically every hockey player I've talked to, they're big golf guys as well. So, what's the thing you're looking forward to the most about living in the Bay again? Actually, like really living in the Bay now, I guess, instead of,
Probably, honestly, probably the weather. Because if, you know what, you could ask Russ or ask anyone that lives in Northern Ontario. like those North Bay winters are killer, like minus 35 weather. So honestly, knowing that I'm going to be clear of winters for a bit, for at least, you know, another couple of years. I'm really looking forward to that. And honestly, you know, I don't think there's better than playing hockey in California. You know, there's nothing cooler than showing up to practice in shorts. You know, it's feels like summer year round. So I think I'm definitely looking forward to the weather other than the hockey part.
Shorts and slides year round. So last question, socks and skates. You're not a monster who doesn't wear socks with their skates, right?
I wear socks in my skates. Yeah.
Okay. Cause yeah, there's Ryan Merkley, noted monster, does not wear socks with skates.
Yeah. He still does that to this day. I've tried it before, not on purpose, like forgot my hockey socks. Show up to the rink and there's no other choice right yet. You just got to go for it. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm not a lover of the feeling. My feet get a little cold. They're wet and soggy in your skates. And then on top of it, just make your feet stink. Your skates smell even worse. And then, yeah, and you're leaving the rink in smelly shoes. So I'm a socks and my skates type of guy.
That's good to hear. Brandon, you've come and said it all. Appreciate it. If you have anything you want to shout out, recognize, you have all the time in the world, buddy.
No, thank you. I just really appreciate you having me on.
Again, Brandon Coe, we're excited to see the Barracuda this season and what's going to be a super fun Cuda season. And again, make the Cuda great again. So thanks, buddy.
All right, no worries. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Have a good day.
You too.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Brandon Coe. Big things out of Coe this year. I think he's going to hit the ground running for the Cuda, especially having a taste of playing the, you know, professional hockey as a much younger player. You know, he talked about his confidence coming out of playing with the Cuda and just how much that helped him going back to juniors and, you know, punking on 16, 17 year olds. So yeah, I think Coe is going to just come in and just have a monster season for the Barracuda and kind of continue to prove why was he still available in the fourth round? So, but yeah, so make sure you guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that. We'll be back on Thursday night for our Get to Know the Enemy series with the Edmonton Oilers. So kind of looking in at the Oilers, who really kind of turned their season around last year once they fired their coach and you know, went from there. And, you know, if this team can kind of continue to be the two-man show that is. So yeah, get ready for that. Make sure, of course, you guys are following the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram over at Locked On Sharks. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey. If you haven't on Apple, please leave a 5-star review. I haven't gotten one in a while. It makes me sad. And if I'm sad, then my kids are become sad too. They're like, Daddy, why are you sad? And I was like, nobody loves Daddy because nobody leaves him reviews. So please, for my kids' sakes, leave a review. Also subscribe on YouTube as well. So especially we got the, you know, training camp is right around the corner. Got to start getting prepared for the new season here. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter at MyFryHole. Go check out Locked On NHL. And we'll be back on Thursday with the Get to Know the Enemies, the Edmonton Oilers. Bye, friends.